What do we think about the Bible? Is it a good book? Maybe it's interesting. Has interesting stories, interesting history. Maybe we would say it's a good read. We might even say it's the best book ever written. Is that all it is? It's the Word of God, the living Word of God. Some might say that the Bible is a good guideline for how to live your life. Good moral character or good ethics. It'll teach you how to be a good person. Is that all it is? I was thinking Wednesday night, my father-in-law got up and testified about God's Word, and I thought he was going to preach the message, but there's a whole lot more to it than he said and what I can say today. A whole lot more to it. But God's Word is powerful. I was thinking about it on the way here today. You know, Israel had the Word of God, and it was formed in government, and they had rules and laws and how to conduct their government. And you know that if another nation had just grabbed all their rules and placed it in their nation and followed those rules and those commands and did everything that they did, you realize that they would have been missing something even still? Because it's not, God's Word isn't just a good guideline. It's not just a good moral code. It's not just a good way to live even. It's much more than that. The scriptures say that God's Word spoke and the heavens were created. God spoke and the animals were created. By the Word of God, the heaven and the earth was created. God's Word is powerful. It's much more than just a good moral rule. Yes, amen. You know, and we can get people to abide by or give them, like I said, the rules. And you know that there's no power in the rules?
That's right.
The power is in God.
Yes, amen.
The power is in faith in God. Believing God's faithfulness. Believing God is true. So I just want to look at some scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sure some of these, or many of these scriptures, are probably very familiar to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, now we can just stop right there, right? It's a good moral code. It's a good teacher. It'll show us the right thing. It'll correct us, and it'll instruct us in the right things. Let's go on a little bit further. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's Word is much more than just giving us teaching. It's much more than just giving us a correction. It goes way deeper than that. You know, I think about my children and I can teach them a lot of things. And I can even get them to follow the things that I teach. But until it goes deeper than that, there's going to be a day when I'm not there to watch them and make sure they're doing it correctly. There's got to come a day where they take it and they own it for themselves. And it's going to do something in their heart and in their life. We can listen and we can even read God's word every day, but unless we let it penetrate our hearts and really hear what it's saying, it will just be a dead law to us. It'll just be a good book, an inspired read, maybe the best book we've ever read. But there's much more to God's word than that. It says, for the perfecting, well, that the man of God may be perfect. Let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know that this Bible that we have today wasn't just something that man conjured up and decided it would be a good idea to write a book that would have all these things in it. You know that it didn't just happen like that? But this Bible, or this Word of God that we have, has transpired and grown throughout thousands of years. Different people, being inspired by God, wrote these things. And we have a collection of them. God-inspired Word. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this scripture that we have isn't just man's ideas or beliefs about things. It's God's. And I think if we can see it that way, it will have much more power in our hearts and in our lives. When we can really see it for what it is, as being God's word. If it's just another book, if it's just a good moral code or a good moral ethic, then it's dead. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be deeper than that. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Second Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word is true. Period. It's always true. And I feel like I'm on the cusp of a really big revelation when I say this, but do you know that when God speaks, that it must happen? It's not maybe or it could, but when God speaks, it must happen. I mean, think about it. He says, let there be light. That's always, let there be light. And there was light. There was nothing it can do other than what God had said do. That is God's power in His word. It's true all the time. It can't be anything but true, because as soon as he says it, it must be. God's word is always true. Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie because his word is always true. When he says it, it's like he's making the truth when he says it. That's his power. That's his authority. As soon as he speaks it, it is true. And it will come to pass, as he says, it will come to pass. So, I mean, we've already answered this question, but are the scriptures God's word? It testifies unto itself that it is. It's proved itself many times over, and that God has prophesied things that had not come to pass yet through men of God, filled by the Holy Ghost, writing things down that God had said, and he did it over and over and over again. I forget how many prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' coming. Multitude of prophecies were fulfilled in his life and in his coming, testifying unto itself that it's true. We were in the young people's meeting Friday night, and there was a story in 2 Kings about a man of God who came and gave the word of God, and it happened just as he said it would. And it confirmed it to those who were there that, yes, this was the word of God. And it will happen just as he said it would. God's word does that over and over and over in the scriptures, where it confirms itself so that we can read it and have faith in it and stand and build our lives on it. Amen. The scriptures are God's word. Let's go to John chapter 1. Verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word is God, or was God. All things created by him, and without him nothing was made. And we go down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh, who dwelt among us. All things were made by him and through him. There's another scripture that gives that account as well. I believe it's in Colossians. God's Word. You know, I was thinking about it, and we've already spoke a little bit of it, but there's a verse that says that God's word does not return void. Yes. It will do what it's sent out to do. Yes. When God speaks, it produces what it is intended to produce. There's a scripture in Hebrews where it says, well, let's go to it. Hebrews chapter 4. I don't want to butcher it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can we testify to that? That God's word is quick and powerful and penetrates the heart? I know for me that it's happened many times, obviously. The Lord penetrates my heart with His Word many times. But I remember the time when He opened my eyes and my ears to hear His Word and to see Him. And it was like a stirring in my heart. I guess it would be a great way of expressing it and saying a piercing of the heart. We often call it conviction. God's word convicting or penetrating, producing something in our hearts and in our lives, drawing us into Himself, calling us into Himself. God's word is powerful. God's word does not fail, but it does what it is intended to do. But you know, there's an element that is required on our part. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I think this is a part that's often overlooked, really. God's word is so powerful. And it can produce things in our lives. It can do things in our hearts. It can create the heavens and the earth. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I think of people who have picked up the Bible and read it and considered it to be a good book. Maybe even considered it to be one of the best books. An interesting read. They read it as a historical book, maybe. But you know, it didn't do anything to them. It didn't penetrate. Not having ears to hear or a heart to receive. You know, I don't know how many times people may come and hear the Word of God and hear God speak, and He's speaking to their heart, convicting, revealing, exposing, shining light on your heart, shining light on you, saying who you really are and what you need and how you need to come to Him to receive and to repent. And how many times that happens and a person goes away and does not go forward or does not heed that call. They suppress that conviction or that drawing of the Spirit. They close their ears off. I think of the account in Acts where Stephen was laying the word down to them, telling them the truth, giving them God's word, and it says that they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they were, I think it said they were closing their ears off. They didn't want to hear it. But you know, we can shut it off. You know that that time when God speaks to your heart is a gift of God? Yes. That is a gift of God when He's speaking to you and He's saying, look, this is you. Come unto me. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. But when we push that off, there's no guarantee that there will be another. As I said, that is a gift of God. When he speaks to your heart, when that conviction is real in your heart and in your life, there's no guarantee that that'll come again. Yes. Repentance is a gift of God. I really believe that the most we can conjure up in ourselves is sorrow. Sorrow for wrong. Sorrow for getting caught, maybe. Sorrow for the results of the decisions that we've made. Sorrow that it turned out the way it did. But true repentance, God-given repentance, a turning around of your life, a newness of life, comes through God and comes through the conviction that he gives to our hearts. God's word produces something. It is spirit and it is life. You know, I was thinking about the children of Israel walking through the desert, and God's word fed them, gave them drink, healed them, caused them to walk through the Red Sea on dry land, led them. God's word delivered them, set them free. What does God's word do for us? Is it powerful to you? Does it speak to our hearts? Does it encourage us and strengthen us? Because you know, when God says that he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to do what he says. Yes. In his word, he says that we can have everlasting life. In his word, he said he's prepared a place for us. A heavenly place. In his word, he says that he will be our healer, our deliverer, our strong high tower, our redeemer. These are things that God has said. Do we believe it? Do we stand on it? Do we have the conviction in our heart to trust in it and have faith in it? Because that is when it's going to have power in our lives. When we take God for his word and we believe and have faith in him that he is true and that everything he does is true and right, then we can read the scriptures and we can read his word and it will have power and it will have life. You know, God's word says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You know that oftentimes God's word has conditions put on it. And I was thinking about that as to why that is. Because if God just says it, then it is, right? He said, let there be light, there was light. But he puts conditions on it. He says, you'll be saved if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. You shall be delivered if you'll follow after my ways or seek my path or whatever he says. There's always a condition put on it. May the Lord help us to put ourselves in a position to receive the promises that he gives in his word. Yes. Let's go to John chapter 17. John 17 and 17. Well, we'll go ahead and 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know that God's word sanctifies us? We think about wanting power to be victorious in our lives. Power to overcome the enemy. Power to follow after God. To be in service to God. Power to do what it is that God has called us to do. All of that power is in His Word. If we will believe it, commit to it, surrender to it, and allow Him to lead us and direct us by His Word, He will do those things for us. I think about the, let's put it this way. When Jesus was here on earth, and He said something, did it ever fail? There were people who said, Lord, don't even come to my house. Just say it. Just say that my servant is healed and I'll just go my way. Because He knew that if He just said it, it would come to pass. What do we want God to say to us? What do we need from Him? Because if He says it to you, you shall have it. If He speaks it to your heart and you believe it and you stand on it, you'll have it. According to His word. Because He does not lie, and He does what He says He'll do. So if the Lord calls you and says, come unto me, you heavy and or you burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you come unto Him, He's going to give you exactly what He said. He's going to give you rest. He's going to give you peace in your heart. If you want peace, if you want joy, it's in God's Word. He offers those things to us through His Word if we will take it and believe in it. As He said, we'll have it. It's hard for me to express to you the changing power of God's Word. We were talking about the other evening, and you know that there are generations and generations of people who raise their children to serve God, and they're very successful. Many of them, their children follow after and are saved and delivered, and you can think of that and sometimes believe that is the only way it's done. To really have success. But you know what? That God can save a soul. Amen. And change their heart. Yes. And make them completely new. Yes. Never having been raised in it. Never having a history of it. Maybe not even knowing anything about it until God spoke to their heart and said, I am the Lord your God. Follow me. Yes. And you know that person can change and teach their children to follow after the Lord. And what maybe was seven generations on this side may be just one generation on yours. But you know that God can change it just like that?
Yes.
He can change your history. Or change whatever it is that made you what you are today. And He can make everything new.
Amen.
You don't have to be that one that was raised in it to know the power of God, the victory that's in Christ, the power of the blood to redeem and wash us from our sins. Because one person that's washed in Jesus' blood, the other person is washed in Jesus' blood too.
Amen.
It produces the same power in both lives. And God can be effective in our lives. There's nothing hindering us from receiving all the goodness of God if we will just but believe and have faith that He is true. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new life. A new spirit I'll put within you, He says. These are promises of God. The God that we just said does not lie. Everything He says is true. These promises belong to us. You know that God can heal your body? And why is it that we would think that that would be a strange thing? He created the body. He formed it from the dust. He breathed the breath of life in it. His word has raised the dead. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And they said, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He probably stinks by now. He says, Lazarus, come forth. The breath of life entered him. And he came forth. God's word is powerful. It's not hindered in any way. He can do the impossible in your life and in mine if we will just draw near to Him and allow Him to speak to us,
Amen.
To speak to our hearts, to draw us into Himself. Because for myself, I don't know how often I pray, Lord, direct me. Show me my path. Teach me what you would have me to do. Help me to hear your voice. Because I know that if I just do what he says, I will be successful. That he will bring me into a wonderful place.
Yes.
That he'll bless my life if I can just hear his voice and have him say it. Lord, just say it. And that's enough. Because I know that your word does not fail. I know that when you say it, it's true. So just say it, Lord. Just tell me. Whatever you would want to speak to me. Show me myself. I'm open unto you to speak to me. I want you to do something in my life. I want you to have control of my heart. So that you can produce glorious things through my life. That you can make me into a man of God. Perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. By the word of God. So just speak to me, Lord. And I think that if we're hearing God speak, and he's speaking to our hearts, and he's telling us something, whatever it might be, I don't know what he's telling you. I don't know what you need. You know, I can come up here and I can gather up a bunch of fancy words and give them to you all, but you know there's no power in that?
Yes.
It's only powerful when God says it and when he speaks it.
Amen.
And sometimes he might have to mix my words up to where he actually says what he wants and speaks to your heart and reveals to you what it is that he wants you to hear. For you. But don't shut him off. If God is speaking to your heart and he's telling you something about your life and he's saying that you have a need and you need to come forward to receive his blessing, please don't shut him off. Because the conviction of God, the word of God on your heart is a gift. You think, well, I'll just serve God any old time. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. When God is dealing with you, that is when you need to act. May the Lord help us to hear his word and to act when he calls and to receive what he says and allow it to produce power in our lives. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. Pray for me. I want the power of God to be active in my heart and in my life. And I know there's so much more that he wants to do in my life. And I want to hear his voice and follow after him.